Well, good morning again. One of the benefits of being an elder here is that we get to share the pulpit when Pastor needs us, and Pastor's on a well-deserved vacation right now. I pray that he's getting the rest and relaxation that it takes to lead us. It's so very important, and to do that at half speed, you just don't want to get to that point. So we've been studying in this series our creed. As Twain Heart Bible Church, what we believe. It's important that you know that at some time back in the past, a group of men came together and decided the things that Twain Heart Bible Church was going to believe. They just wrote out some stuff that sounded important and good, and people would listen to it. But they studied each and every one of these items, of the items that we list in the creed. They have biblical backing. It's not someone's idea, someone's thoughts. We've gone to God's Word to back up these thoughts and these statements. So as you've learned the last couple weeks, instead of staying in one particular passage for the time, we're going to be going back and forth between a whole bunch of different verses. So we're going to have them up on the slide, on the projector. So don't feel that you need to. I think I could do it when I was young. I was real good at those sword drills. You could whip back and forth. You just hear a rustling of paper. Now it's just click, click, click. That's easier too. But we will have them up on the board. So please feel free. I said board. That makes me sound old. Screen, on the screen. I am old. I'm good with that. I'm all right. I've earned all this gray. It's wisdom. Anyway, so who can remember what we spoke on the first week? God. Who remembers the second week? The Bible. Okay. So we only got a few more to go. Yes, those are all great, great sermons. I hope that even though that's how Twain Heart Bible Church chooses to view those things, maybe you learned something new. Maybe you found some new verses to use when you talk to friends who aren't saved, and you know, who is God? What is the Bible? How did we get all that stuff? We have the verses there to back it up. So today, if you'd like to write all those down as we go along, that'd be fine. Today, we're on to number three. The number three is the human condition. Fair warning, it's not the most joyful of topics until the end. But as we go on in the beginning part, please realize, if you don't know already, that Jesus Christ did something special for us. So, before we get going, why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much for being able to come freely together, Father, and learn more about you, to be encouraged by your word, Father, to see what you've done for us so that we may have an eternal life for you, with you, Father. We thank you so much that you sent your Son to die on the cross. We thank you that he rose again, and because of that, we can spend eternity with you, Father. And I pray that this makes us excited to go out and share with our friends who don't know you, Father. Please create in us a deep desire, a stirring, to let other people know how much you love us and what a life like that is. In your Son's name, amen. Number three. Do you have that one, Melanie? There we go. This is all new to us. I'm so glad there's one on the back. Crick my neck looking around. Well, that's not it. That's later. No, the creed. The All right. Well, there we go. Number three, we believe that God created Adam and Eve in his image, but they sinned when tempted by Satan. In union with Adam, human beings are sinners by nature and by choice, alienated from God and under his wrath. I don't know, my two least favorite words put together in the English language is God and wrath. I don't know about you. I think about the Old Testament stories, and I go, oh, that, me too? Didn't someone go through that for me already? Didn't someone deal with it? But that doesn't count babies, right? Babies are adorable. Right? Am I right? Tell me, does that count for babies? It does? Are you sure? He let us know. We had a voice from the baby section there. Okay, well, I'm going to show you a quick video, and you tell me if you think that's the case. Why don't you put up that first video? We have a video. There we go. Okay, that's cute. Not that kid, right? That's Luke. Luke is 2.5. Luke is the son of one of my former students, and she posts a lot of Instagram pics. And it'd be hard to tell everyone that that young man there is under the wrath of God. Because in that video, okay, his parents didn't sit down with him and have him memorize those words. He overheard his parents' Bible time with his older siblings. He's got they're 8, 6, and 5. And he overheard that. The message wasn't intended for him, but he walked over to his mom and did that. So of course he's got to be okay, right? No, not even Luke, because a few minutes later, a little later in the day, his mom posted another video. Why don't you play that second video? Where's this? Do we have sound on that? Did you click out? Do we maybe click off the sound? It's on? Oh, that's interesting. Well, let me tell you what he said. Oh, because it was one of my points. It might be on mute. Yeah, the mute button's on. It's not playing. Oh, it played earlier. That's a bummer. Well, Mama comes in and says, "What are you doing?" And he just kind of, "I'm adorable. I don't have an answer." She says, "Have you plugged the sink?" And he goes, "What?" You know, he says, "Did you plug the sink?" And he pulls out the plug there. And, says, and then as she takes it and puts it away, he goes, "No, I want it back." And then afterwards she says, "I think I caught you." And she says, "Are you supposed to be doing this?" And he says, "No." How many of you have kids that say, "No"? How many of you have tried that when you've been pulled over by a police officer? "Sir, you just ran through a red light." "No." Probably get tased before I get let go. And then he says, she goes, "Oh, you were being naughty." And he says, "I'm not being naughty." He said in the cutest way, "I'm not being naughty." And she will admit, it's very hard to reprimand that child, because when he does it adorably. But he knew he was wrong. He knew he wasn't supposed to do it. However, in the comments down below, both grandmothers quickly rushed his defense and said, "Well, he's not naughty, he's just busy." Now, that's easy to do with an adorable 2.5-year-old. But the problem is, as humans, we're sinful. Yet somehow we think there's some sort of degree to our sin. And not everybody is bad. Surely the stuff that's been at the top of the news the last couple of days, those are terribly bad people. and we don't fit in that crowd. But the truth is, Luke, those younger than Luke, whether you make the top of the news for a terrible reason, or us, we are all under the same exact wrath of God. So let's break down that creed a little bit right now. Part one, we believe God created Adam and Eve in his image. So what's that mean to be created in God's image? I've heard that subject talked about many times with people with different levels of comprehension of the Bible and no comprehension of the Bible, maybe too much comprehension of the Bible, give their thoughts on what does that mean to be created in the image of God? Does that mean we act like God? I just mentioned the news. You can't click on the news and see people acting completely different than how God would act. I know this last week I thought maybe I'd concentrate on one story, talk a little bit about one story. I can go to the front page of my favorite news provider's webpage and see headlines I won't even click on because the title made me so sad. I just can't do it. And I was trying to figure which to talk about. Do we talk about the shooting in Kentucky? Do we talk about the pipe bombs? Yesterday morning I turn on the TV, the news, and there was the shooting in Pittsburgh. Do we act anything like God? Absolutely not. And that doesn't even count the day-to-day shootings and murders and abortions and the racism and the anger and the hate that's out there. Maybe it means that we look like him. Think that's what it is? I don't know. I've seen lots of pictures of God. They all kind of look like Santa Claus, but there's pictures of him, right? We must look like him. When I was a kid and we used to get a newspaper delivered to the house, I was the first one up. I'd go get it off the front porch. I'd open up the living section of the San Jose Mercury and I'd go straight to the living section because that's where the comics were. And there was a comic called Frank and Ernest. And I don't know what his stance is on where he stands with Christ, but he had a lot of some interesting, thought-provoking, spiritual thoughts and questions and funny points. And often they were two angels and God sitting up on a cloud looking down at heaven. And God was, he looked like bald Santa Claus, and he was 10 times bigger than everybody else. As a young child, I remember seeing a picture of the birth of Adam by Michelangelo. And that God had wavy gray hair and a wavy gray beard. The problem with that as a kid is I also had this Bible story picture book. And my picture of Moses looked exactly like God. And I remember answering some sort of question in Sunday school one day saying, well, Moses is God. And so how do you know that? Well, there's a picture here and he's in my Bible study. That gets pretty confusing because if he does look like us, is he Asian? Is he Hispanic? Is he red, yellow, black, and white? What is he? Surely, looking like him is not what it means. Genesis 1:27. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. When I was a kid, my next door neighbor had an extensive coffee table book collection. I didn't get that phrase as a kid because they were all stacked up in the corner. I just thought they were the size of coffee tables, and that's why I called them that. But they were these big, huge picture books. There was a lot of them I loved to look at, but my favorite one was of Yosemite. And there was one picture, I believe it was right smack in the middle, because I used to open it up wide and sit and look at it. And it was a picture of the Yosemite Valley floor from Glacier Point. And what blew my mind was the valley was so tiny that I couldn't believe that it was taken on land. That picture's taken from land. I thought, that's got to be a picture out of an airplane, right? It blew me away that you could still be on land, be a place where you can drive your car to, stop, and take a picture of something so far away. That picture always stuck in my mind. It always amazed me. Until I was a sophomore in high school, and I went to Yosemite for the first time, and I stood on Glacier Point, and I looked out at the Yosemite Valley. That picture was similar to what I saw, but it wasn't completely representative. It certainly gave me a desire to go to that point at one time. It pointed me towards standing out there on Glacier Point one time and looking down at the Yosemite floor, at the valley floor. But it was not the same experience. I even got a little like wobbly, like I felt I had to reach out. Well, that's just a painting or a photo. I'll touch it. And then that would have been a disaster if it would have fallen forward. See, a picture can give you a good idea of what something is. But until you experience that something, it's just not the same. And that's how I think we can look at when we say we're an image of God. That's kind of similar. It may not be a physical look, but we're supposed to be an idea of what God is like that points people to wanting to experience the real thing. The ways that we are made in God's image, I got five things here. First of all, the way we reflect God is we are creational. Animals are not creative. Now, I've seen photos of a lot of creative things animals have done. I'm not a big fan of spiders, but I've seen some nice pictures of, you know, the morning dew on a spider web as the sun hits it just right. It's pretty beautiful. But you know that spider? It's not snowflakes. He creates the same one every time. Each spider does a particular pattern. An entomologist, someone who studies spiders, can tell you what the spider is by looking at the web. Pretty simple. Living out here in the woods, we hear birds singing all the time. And it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. One of the big pluses of living up here. But they're not improvising. Birds don't do jazz. They don't make it up as they go along. Each of those songs is the same. Well, it's not the same. They each mean something specific. Whether they're warnings, say, hey, I found food, where is everybody, whatever. There's a purpose to each of those songs. And some of them, they even just mimic other birds. And some birds even mimic people. It's funny. It makes for great YouTube videos. But all the best they can do is mimic. So they don't create anything new. But humans, just like God, are creational. We are also spiritual. That separates us from the animals. We're more than just flesh and lust. We're more about eating, more than just eating and reproducing. We are spiritual beings, and we're wired to worship something. Some of us, it's God. Come to Twin Up Bible Church on Sunday morning, or another church on Sunday morning, they're worshiped by God. Some people are made to worship money. Some people are wired to worship fame and notoriety. But everybody is wired to, or themselves, in the end, it's all ourselves. But everyone, we are spiritual beings that are created to worship, and we're also eternal. Another way we reflect God is that we're moral. God created humanity with the moral compass, a conscience that gives each of us an inner sense of the difference between right and wrong. Obviously, that varies from person to person. Or we don't have, again, what we've seen the last few days in the news. Some people's conscience has been deadened and completely seared by sin. But what remains is hardwired in man. We do have, because as bad as that was, and we wouldn't do it, those people thought they were dealing with a problem the way it needed to be dealt with. That was their morality. Hopefully yours is a little bit better than that. I think most people's are. But that's where we get lumped into. Well, most people wouldn't do that, so most people are good and they're fine. We also reflect God by being rational. We have the capacity to think and reason. And lastly, we're relational. While in prison, other than the death penalty, I guess, what's the most severe form of punishment that you can give to a prisoner? Solitary confinement. Here's, now, some people, they think that sounds pretty good. Just be a cabin in the woods by yourself is good. Not in a dark cell for 23 hours a day or whatever it is. That's not. That's the most severe form of punishment. They cut you off from everybody. Now, it's easier to stay kind of cut off but attached through the internet nowadays. But we are relational with each other. But more importantly, We're relational with God. God created humans in his image, and because of that, each human is precious. Psalm 8, 4 through 5. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. We're, those of us who are doing sermons while Pastor is gone, he's given us this book that to read, get excerpts out of that pertain to our particular topic that we're studying here. It's called Evangelical Convictions. It's written by Greg Strand. Excuse me. And in here he says, all human life at whatever stage of development, from conception to death, at whatever socioeconomic status, and whatever level of physical or intellectual capability is sacred, because all human beings are created in God's image. Even when the image has been corrupted by our sin, every human being is still worthy of honor and respect. There is nothing more valuable in all of our creation than a human life. So, number one, we are all created in God's image. Point number two, but they sinned, they sinned when tempted by Satan. I'm not going to go into the story of the fall of man, but if you go to Genesis 3, first few verses, you can read it there. All sin is directed at God and is ultimately an attempt to become God. That's one you don't think of all the time. All sin is directed at God and is ultimately an attempt to become God. I remember the first time that I found out I was supposed to be thinking about stuff like that. I was at home. I was probably about 9 years old, 9 or 10, sitting at the kitchen table on our kitchen table stools, eating breakfast, and I had enough of my brother. He was sitting next to me. We were eating our bowls of cereal, and he leaned back for some reason to grab something. He's kind of balancing himself on the stool and leaning back, and I took his cereal bowl, and I just flipped it over right into his lap because I had had enough. My brother, you might as well be setting off a fuse to 100 pounds of dynamite at that point. So my mom had to put out the fire, and afterwards she says, well, you need to apologize to your brother. You need to ask your brother to forgive you. Yeah, but he's a pain. Okay. You know what you're supposed to, yes, I know, I'll ask him to forgive me. And you need to ask God to forgive you. I didn't pour cereal in God's lap. I poured cereal on my brother's lap. As I got older, now, I went ahead and did it because I was a good little boy and I did everything my mom said. But as I grew up, as I studied God's word, I learned more and more the things that I was to do and the things I was not supposed to do through his word. And as I got older, I realized when I decided to go against those things that I knew I was to do, I was saying, God, step back, I'm handling this. I know better than you. The proper response is what I'm about to do. See, that was the original sin. That was the sin in the Garden of Eden. The serpent told Eve, look, if you take a bite of this, you're going to know everything God knows. You're going to be equal with God. And why was Satan kicked out of heaven? He wanted to be like God. That's where the beginning of all sin is. We kind of think that there's different levels, but the truth is, yep, some may not do the harm that others do, but it only builds to the point where we're calling all the shots for ourselves, and we're not even consulting God's word for what we should be doing, how we should be living our lives. Number three, we believe all human beings are sinners. Remember little Luke from earlier? That picture a little earlier? Okay, by no means is he a little terror. But I think everyone here probably has a child that they got to keep an eye out for and keep an ear open before. See, Luke is number 4 of 5. And his younger brother, I think, is just turning 7 months old. So he requires a lot of mommy's attention. He loves mommy. He was mommy's little boy. Wherever mommy was, he wanted to be. Now someone else is there. And the big kids, even though the oldest is 8, require a lot of attention from mommy too. So you know how he gets attention from mommy? You know how he gets his one-on-one time? His mom definitely has those moments that I know a lot of you do. You sit down, it's all nice and quiet, get to relax. Too quiet. And then you run upstairs and someone's filling up the bathtub. I saw one video where Luke is, he had pulled all the window fans out from under the bed and turned them all on. He gets into something. He's always doing something because he wants his mom's attention. He knows it's wrong, but he also knows he's going to get one-on-one time with mom if he pulls something like that. He's a smart little cookie for sure. We believe that all human beings are sinners by nature, firstly. In Romans 5, Paul says, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men, because all sinned. By the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man. Through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. The one man is Adam. That's a lot of pressure. I sure hope that doesn't sound at all like my obituary. Let me read that again. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And this way, death came to all men because all sinned. By the trespass of that one man, death reigned through that one man. Through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. That one man is Adam. So everyone else, because of what he did, everyone else is a sinner. It's like he gave himself the new last name of Sinner. Hi, I'm Adam Sinner. And you know what that makes us? We got Nate Sinner right down there. We got Byron Sinner right down there. We got Anthony Sinner right over here. Hi, I'm Dave Sinner. Sunday mornings at Twain Our Bible Church, coming out to the Sinner Family Reunion. Psalm 51:5 says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So we are sinful by nature, and we are also sinful by choice. We got a bunch to go through here. Psalm 133. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Psalm 143:2. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Proverbs 29. Who can say, I have kept my heart pure? I am clean and without sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Romans 3:10, 12, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. There is no one who does good, not even one. And Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful about things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? In Romans 3, Paul is describing the invasiveness of sin to Jews and Gentiles alike. He's showing us that it's so ingrained in us that he uses parts of the body to make his point. Let's see. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Everybody is sinful, and everybody is completely sinful. Sure, you may see things on the news that people do that you would never do, but you know what? We're all just as sinful. Number four, we believe all human beings are alienated from God and under his wrath. We are separated from God because he is holy and infinitely perfect. That's part of the first statement 2 weeks ago. And we are all completely sinful. Ephesians 2:12. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Without hope. Can you imagine? You know, I've had some down times in my life. I've said, why bother? I've said, this is too much work. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to shut down. But I've never held on to those for too long because I have hope in Christ. But not everybody has that. I know I keep saying one of the amazing things as elders, one of the things we get to do is when someone becomes a member, we get to hear your testimony. And there's been some of you who have had those moments where you felt completely hopeless before you asked Christ into your heart. Some of you may have asked Christ into your heart when you were young and then figured out later that you were completely hopeless. But maybe some of you, like I said, some of you at some point have felt hopeless. Maybe some of you right now are in a place where you feel absolutely hopeless and just came to church because, I don't know, this is better than nothing. A few years ago, I was at my sister's, and it was later in the evening. I was sitting doing some work on my computer. She was on her computer. She was looking at some emails, and she stood up, and she screamed, "Oh, no!" really loud. Scared me to death. And then she just turned around her computer and had me read what had been emailed her. One of her best friends, and her fiancé, and her fiancé's brother and his girlfriend had gone to Lexington Reservoir for the day to have some fun. It was late in May, and it was getting pretty warm at that point. If you don't know Lexington Reservoir, that's kind of off Highway 17 as you're heading up out of Los Gatos, as you're heading up to Santa Cruz. It's that lake over on the... What's that? Dinosaurs used to be there? Oh, okay. All right. I would say dinosaurs used to be everywhere. But anyway... sorry to make you laugh right there because what's coming isn't funny. Now, the two guys, my sister's friend's fiance and her brother, were gym rats. Extremely fit fellas. They did quite a bit of running, quite a bit of workout. I think they were even in on that, I know what it is. not Ironman, CrossFit, an early age. And these guys, they weren't kids, they were early 30s. Yet they decided that they were going to go out on a windy day, get in a canoe without life preservers, and as athletic as these guys were, neither knew how to swim. And yeah, what happened, what do you think happened? It got turned over, and both brothers drowned. Yep. Have you ever been at a funeral, at a memorial service, where someone had died? I know some of you have. You've done it in your own families. But have you been at a service where someone had died unexpectedly, cut down in the prime of youth? Can you imagine the parents burying both of their sons at that time? Now, one of the brothers, the one that was engaged to my sister's friend, was a recent Christian, and he had been working on his girlfriend. But his girlfriend didn't want to hear anything about it. Because why would a God who supposedly loves us let anything like that happen? I've heard that asked quite a bit. And that's not something you want to necessarily jam the Bible in the face of someone who's going through that time of grieving. It's tough to deal with. There's lots of people asking that all over the country right now, especially back in Pittsburgh. And I did the thing I hate most than anything else. I read the comment section underneath the article because I wanted to say I could prove it in my sermon. And sure enough, it was there. People saying, it was an article about religions need to come together and stand together. And most of the reaction opinions were, isn't it time to stop spending so much time talking about God? Because obviously he doesn't care. He cares, all right, but this is part of the deal. There is sin in the world. How could a loving God take two of the greatest guys ever for no reason? Well, there's a reason. See, the world believes that we're born good. And we deserve good things. We all know those people. I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, what church do you go to? Well, I don't go to church, but I was born in America, and I haven't killed anybody yet. That makes me a Christian. That makes me a good person. I think I go to heaven. Now, don't tell me what heaven's like. Don't read me anything from the Bible. I would just like to believe that I'm going there. People believe that they deserve good things all the time, and that's not guaranteed. Not even the godliest people we know, the people who love the Word, who are in the Word, who pursue God, who tell other people, they're not guaranteed a drive home today. They're not guaranteed arriving safely home this afternoon after church. Paul sums it up this way. Well, I'm sorry, one more point. Human beings are sinful by nature and by choice and under God's wrath with no hope. I promise it gets better. Paul sums it up like this. I want to do good, but I don't do it. I want to do evil, but I do the very evil I don't want to do. Romans 7, 24, 25. What a wretched man am I. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Again, that's the human condition. No matter how healthy you are, you're in a body of death. We are all doomed to death. That is not the most positive message, but it's necessary. Because if we don't know what condition we're in, how are we going to apply the right treatment? How are we going to experience the correct care if we don't fully understand how bad of a situation we're in? But that verse ends, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Oh, I love hearing those amens. If you were completely bummed out up until this point, those amens mean something. Those are people that know what we're talking about. Because only through God's saving work in Jesus Christ, we can be rescued, we can be reconciled, and renewed. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. We can be rescued. As I said before, we can be rescued. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. We can be reconciled. Romans 5, 8, 10. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? We can also be renewed. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I love that this room is full of stories of people who get that, who understand that, who demonstrate that in their lives, day in and day out. I know I do. I've heard so many of your stories. It's a blessing. That's why we come here, to be encouraged. There's some days we come in and we're not feeling it, but someone has a story to share. Someone had an experience this week that encourages so much and reminds us it's because the saving grace of Christ on the cross that we are not doomed like so many people. Let's put up that pic of Luke again. What's that? Just the one where he's standing there. Not the video, but the picture. There we go. Luke is demonstrating a little bit of sass right there. He's a cute kid. But that cute kid, just like your cute kids, just like everybody here at one point was a cute kid, we're all made in the image of God. We're all sinners by nature and by choice. And no matter how cute, sweet, and funny, I was an adorable kid, all right? Even my mom loves to tell a story of when I would do something wrong and she'd be chasing me through the house to spank me, when I finally be cornered, I turn around, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him hid. At 2 and a half, I was doing that. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, I'm told. I don't ever remember sinning as a kid. But no matter how cute and sweet and funny any of us are as kids, we will grow up alienated from God and under his wrath, completely hopeless. I hope nobody here is okay with that. I hope nobody here is okay with friends and loved ones and family members that are okay with that. Unless we choose to trust in the saving grace of Jesus, our fate is dismal unless we believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God sent to earth, died for our sins, and rose again. If you have not made that decision and you're curious, come talk to me. Come talk to one of our elders. There's so many people here that have made that decision, that love Jesus, that love telling people of Jesus, who would love to sit down and talk with you. Don't leave today without doing something like that. If you have questions and you just want questions answered, just ask questions. If you've come to a point in your life where you need to make that decision, then make that decision today. We can go find a place to sit down and talk. I'm more than happy to pray with you. So many people would. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's just so sobering and humbling to learn what we actually deserve. That it doesn't matter if we end up on the front page of the news for something insanely evil, or if we're just living our life day to day, Father, whether we're a child or a grown up, without us knowing the saving grace of Christ's death and resurrection and inviting him into our heart, Father, we all have the same outlook. We all have the same verdict. Father, thank you for the differences you've made in people's lives here. We thank you for those who go out and tell people every day and show people every day how much you love them. I pray those who need to make a decision for you, Father, will get right to that, Father, that you will not let them sleep until that happens. We thank you so much for how much you love us. We can say it a million times and not come close to how much you actually do love us. But Father, let your praise be on our lips at all times. In your Son's name, amen.